Yep.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. It is the third Sunday of Advent and the second Sunday of John the Baptist. And if you have been here for the Advent Sundays, you will remember that the first Sunday of Advent was a spiritual wake-up call. Or in the words of C.S. Lewis, we were asked to remember, attend, come awake, remain awake to God. And then on the second Sunday of Advent, John the Baptist called us to go beyond the mind, to open ourselves up to a new way of thinking and being so that we could be ready to receive Jesus' teaching. And today, John the Baptist returns again with good news, it says in Luke's Gospel. Crowds of people are coming out from the cities to John for baptism, and it seems that this has become the popular thing to do. John seems to think that at least some of them are doing this flippantly, as if a short ritual was all they needed. John seems to think that the crowds don't realize that they will actually have to do something, that they will need to change their lives. You brood of vipers, he calls them. I imagine that got their attention. And so maybe they were really listening when he said, "Bear fruits worthy of repentance." In other words, he was saying, just don't come here for a little water and think you are done with your spiritual lives. There's an interpretive translation of the Bible that's quite good that is called The Message. We use that sometimes here in studies. And I like the way that The Message translates this. John says, "Do you think a little water on your snakeskins is going to deflect God's judgment? It's your life that must change, not your skin. And don't think that you can pull rank by claiming Abraham as father. Being a child of Abraham is neither here nor there. What counts is your life. Is it green and blossoming? Because if it's dead wood, it goes on the fire." Well, I think the crowds are listening to him by now because they start to ask questions. What should we do? And John gives them some answers. Share your clothes and your food with those in need. Do not abuse your power. That's a good start, John tells them, but that is not all. It is simply a preparation. John the Baptist in the Gospels is always pointing away from himself, pointing to Jesus, preparing the way for Jesus. It is Jesus who comes to show us a new way of being. One who is more powerful than I is coming, John says. He is so far beyond me that I am not even worthy to act as his servant. I baptize you with water. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. A little bit later in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus says, "I tell you, among those born of women, no one is greater than John. Yet, the least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. How can that be? How can no human being be greater than John the Baptist, but the least in the kingdom of God be greater than he? It helps me to think of this in terms and use a modern metaphor. And I get this from Cynthia Bourgeau, Episcopal priest and mystic and teacher, who uses some language that's familiar to most of us, anyway, in the computer age to make this point. I imagine most of you have a personal computer of some sort, and that you have all experienced the upgrading of an operating system at least once. You know that every operating system has its limits, that there are things that are impossible to do with certain operating systems until you upgrade them. Well, Cynthia uses this as a metaphor for our human life and our spiritual life. She says all of us are born with an operating system that works in a particular way, the same way that John the Baptist worked. And that operating system works on differentiation. We define ourselves from how we are different from others. And we have to do this to learn and grow to a certain point. But we can only go so far in our spiritual lives by using the operating system that we are born with. Jesus' teaching was all about upgrading our operating system. He taught and said over and over that only those with eyes to see and ears to hear can truly live in the kingdom of God, which is in us and around us right now. That is why John the Baptist, the greatest in the old operating system, according to Jesus, is less than the least who have the eyes and the ears and the heart of the new operating system and can abide in the kingdom of God. Again, I like the way that the Message translates part of this passage. John says, Jesus will ignite the kingdom life, a fire, the Holy Spirit within you, changing you from the inside out. This change begins in baptism, but it cannot end there. We are given gifts of the Holy Spirit in our baptism, but we have to learn how to use them. We have to learn how to see with kingdom eyes so that we can see God at work in the world around us and in our lives, so that we know and see and feel that we are connected to all other beings on this earth. We have to learn to hear with kingdom ears so that we can discern among the many voices that cry for our attention, so that we can hear the still small voice of God. We have to use the tools that are given to us by the wisdom in our tradition: liturgy, sacraments, prayer, silence, contemplation, intentional sacrifice and offering, and practices to open our hearts to God and to others around us, so that God can work within us to upgrade our operating system. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill the hearts of your faithful people. Kindle in them the fire of your love. Amen.